Hello and welcome to podcast number 3 for Making History. Today's date is April 26th, 2006. Let's get started. All right. Podcast number 3 for you. I got 4 segments. The first segment's going to be basically what I've learned since I've been blogging and podcasting in this short time. Segment number 2 is going to be some information, resources that you can hopefully add to your teacher toolbox. Segment number 3, I have 2 websites I want to share with you, Ease History and The Living Room Candidate. And for segment number 4, I want to share some cool facts. One local history fact here in Boston Spa, another national history fact that deals with John Scopes. Alright, let's move on to a pre-recorded segment, segment number 1. Alright, for segment number 1, I want to talk about what I've learned so far since I've been blogging and podcasting in this short time, October 2005 to April 2006. First and foremost, I'm most impressed with the amount of dedicated educators out there. With every profession, you have different degrees and different levels of commitment. You have those that consider just a job, they're punching the clock. You have those that consider a profession and keep themselves to very high standards, and you have those that consider a vocation or a calling. And it's nice to see so many people at those second and third stages in regards to education. There is an endless supply of resources out there for those that are interested in taking advantage of this new medium. So I've been very impressed with that. You know, everything from teachers making these podcasts in their basements all the way up to university professionals. So the other thing I've been really excited about is the fact that I'm archiving my activities on the blogs and the podcasts. This is going to be nice to go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now and actually see where I was at, what I was thinking, what I was doing, and to see if any of the things that I've mentioned in the projects actually came to fruition and some of the stumbling blocks along the way. Since I just purchased a new house and I am moving, I have some of my boxes and boxes of junk going with me, and I did find a journal that I used to keep about 5-6 years ago. And basically what I did is I created cover pages for every unit that I teach for my U.S. history kids, and every one of these cover pages is just a collection of images that tell a story, essentially. It can be used as an introduction or review, and I found 15 pages sketched out in pencil of what I wanted to create. So this reflection process and the creation process, I've always been doing it as long as I've been a teacher, but this has added a new wrinkle to the whole process, which is really cool. And I'm very excited about the upcoming summer because I'll be teaching summer school, which essentially will cut my day in half. I usually get done about 12 o'clock. And so I'm going to be taking advantage of that time to set up some interviews and do some mini field trips and work them into podcasts for the fall. So this is when I can advance that higher level of implementation for myself and for my students. And that will take me to the fall, and once school rolls around, I've already arranged to change the name of my podcast, and I'm setting up a new Blogspot site and a new email, and they're all going to be the same, so it's going to be easier to get a hold of me and easier for people to get access to the blog and the podcast. So we're moving quickly. I think, too, I'm evolving here as a podcaster. I have to work on my voice modulation, no doubt about that. Overuse of the words, like fantastic, I used that way too much in my first 2 podcasts. And I'm sure when I look back at my first attempt at podcasting, I'm going to look back just like I used to look at my first PowerPoints with those blue marble backgrounds and yellow letters. So this is an evolutionary process, and so far it's been an exciting one. I have 3 additional segments for you. Segment number 2, I'm going to be talking about building your teacher toolbox. I have some things I use in class I want to share with you that may help you out. I also want to introduce you to a website called Ease History, and in segment number 4 I have some cool historical facts I want to share with you. Alright, let's move on to segment number 2. Alright, for this next segment it's called Building Your Teacher Toolbox, and these are some resources that I use teaching my 11th grade U.S. history class. I'm a mentor at the high school, at Boston Spa High School, so that gives me a lot of interaction with both new teachers and seasoned professionals because we host workshops and we do a lot of in-class visits. We also welcome other teachers into our classrooms, and that exchange and that collaboration, it doesn't matter if you're a first-year teacher, you've been teaching for 30 years, there's going to be something that I pull from you that helps me improve my program and improve myself as an educator. And that's one of those things. I've always been very spongy in that regard. I'm looking to pull best practices. And that's the cool thing about this podcasting technology here. Now I'm going to be able to pull some of those best practices from people around the country and around the world. So I just wanted to join the conversation and share some things that have worked for me. And the first thing I want to talk about is a thing called Strive for Five. Basically what I do is I have a collection of mini quizzes, five questions. They're basically five review questions and some new material, depending on where I'm at. But usually what I'll do is I'll create these quizzes ahead of time, and sometimes if I have, I'll use it to start the class, the first 10 minutes of class, or I'll use it to finish the last 10 minutes, and basically I'm encouraging the kids to go for that 5 out of 5. Most of the questions I pull from past quizzes or tests that I've taken that kids have been unsuccessful with, so we get another look at the question. I'm looking for recurring themes that they're going to see on their Regents exam. So if I'm doing World War I, I'll have a question on there about the Alien Sedition Act, so I can compare the Alien Sedition Acts of 1798 with the Espionage Act of 1917. So I do a lot of that. I also have a answer sheet where the kids can see their grades on all their Strive for Five quizzes that they take, so they can see some growth. If they're starting with ones and twos, hopefully by the time we get to June, they're in the 4-5 range. And I give each student back a item analysis for every test that we take. And on every test we take, I tell them the theme of the question and the number of kids tested, the number that got that question wrong. So a lot of those questions, I'll let them know, be ready, this is going to come up on a Strive for Five quiz. So that's been very successful. If you go to the website historyshack.blogspot.com, there'll be an example of one of the quizzes, and there'll also be an example of the answer sheet that you're welcome to print out. It's a Word document. All right, for this next toolbox edition here, I want to talk about the review CD that I give to my 11th graders in preparation for the New York State Regents exam in June. And this is a pretty simple concept. I load up a CD-ROM with PowerPoint and Word documents, and also about 60 video clips that I have downloaded and saved from United Streaming. And the way I've set it up is essentially you can look at some of these PowerPoints, and I've embedded links, hyperlinks, that will take them in the PowerPoint right to the video that I want them to watch. I have that laid out in PowerPoint and also the Word document. For instance, the Word document just lists the topics that we discuss. I have one document called Hit List. And as they go through, it'll say, information about the Louisiana Purchase. And to review, they just click the video and it's all at their fingertips. And what I've done to kind of encourage this exchange is I just ask the kids to give me a blank CD and I exchange one loaded up with the resource. Resources on it. This has been wildly successful over the 3 years that I've done it, and it has continued to evolve. For instance, we're looking at using a new software program, an add-on for Office 2003 called Producer, so we can actually add some audio into the PowerPoint. Essentially what Producer does is your screen will be three-quarters would be the PowerPoint slide, and about one-quarter of it would be either audio or video, you speaking or you speaking into a camera, so you can have the video component or simple audio there. So you can actually walk the kids through the contents of the slide, if it's a graphic, if it's a map, political cartoon, whatever. So we're going to try to work that into our 06 version of the review CD. I did solicit the building principal, to purchase the upgrade, $89 worth, so if that goes through, we'll be adding that. And, of course, we're going to add some review podcasts. We're doing 7 themed podcasts for review this year that the kids are going to be able to download from the website, and they'll also be available on the CD. So the review CD has worked out fantastically, and the exchange is effortless. I started burning some already, so I have about 15 ready to go. They don't have the producer component in it, but it's a start, so kids usually start looking for that when we get back from Memorial Day break. And we'll have that ready for them so they can start preparing for the exam. All right, for this next part of the Teacher Toolbox segment, I want to talk about the President's DVD set produced by the History Channel. It's a $49.95 3-DVD set. It has about 400 minutes of footage and all kinds of great stuff. And it is based on the book To the Best of My Ability, which I purchased a couple years ago. This is a great resource for you. It's a great introduction or a conclusion to a unit. It does a great summary of the people that occupy the office. It's an 8-part series. It's narrated by Edward Herman, I believe, and it just covers things so nice. I'll give you a great example. I just recently played the Woodrow Wilson piece, and it talks about Woodrow Wilson requesting war, his war declaration, and it gets approved by Congress, and they give this guy a standing ovation as they accept the war declaration. He retreats back to the White House, and he starts to cry, essentially, telling an aide, they're clapping as I'm sending men, or young boys, off to their death. So in the reality here, these are difficult decisions and difficult times, but these are human beings making these decisions. And the thing I stressed is Woodrow Wilson actually, you know, had grown up during the Civil War. He had seen, he had heard, he had read about it, and that's one thing. The people that have seen war don't want to participate in war. And I have a quote hanging in my room that says, "War doesn't determine who is right, only who is left." And I want them to think about, you know, that we don't just jump into these situations without a lot of thought. So it really humanized the person. And as a social historian, this does a great job of handling that. So that's a huge recommendation from me, if you can pick that up. We worked out something in our office since we had our funds frozen at the library. We actually split it 4 ways. All right, so we all chucked a couple bucks, and we actually picked up a 3-DVD set, and we're all using it. It's fantastic. So that's my recommendation. I'll link that up to the show notes for you, so you can go order that, put it on your wish list for your father, maybe put it on for Father's Day, whatever floats your boat. Good stuff. All right, for segment number 3, I want to talk about 2 websites I've used in my class that deal with presidential campaign commercials from 1952 to 2004. Both of these links will be contained in my show notes. The first one is the Living Room Candidate. On the left side of this web page, the home page, you're going to see election years, and you can click on any one of those election years, and they give an overview of the candidates on one side. And on the right side, there is a screen grab of all the commercials, both Democrat and Republican. Just for the sake of a little teaser here, I'm going to play the audio from 2 of these commercials. One's called Daisy Girl and one's called Ice Cream. These were both produced by the Democratic camp for Lyndon Johnson. And I think you'll get a sense of what kind of resource you have here in the Living Room Candidate by listening to these 2 audio clips. They are priceless.
Do you know what people used to do? They used to explode atomic bombs in the air. Now, children should have lots of vitamin A and calcium, but they shouldn't have any strontium-90 or cesium-137. These things come from atomic bombs, and they're radioactive. They can make you die. Do you know what people finally did? They got together and signed a nuclear test ban treaty, and then the radioactive poison started to go away. But now, there's a man who wants to be president of the United States, and he doesn't like this treaty. He fought against it. He even voted against it. He wants to go on testing more bombs. His name is Barry Goldwater. And if he's elected, they might start testing all over again.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
All right, the next one I want to share with you is called Daisy Girl, and this actually aired only once during prime time. And you're going to be able to tell just based on the content why it only aired once. Hopefully I got you buzzing with some ideas on how to use a Living Room Candidate. If you do come up with a cool lesson idea or you work that into your classroom routine, please let me know. I'd love to hear how you implement that resource. The next one I want to take you to is easehistory.org, and EASE stands for Experience Acceleration Support Environment. They have three options you can go through here when you're exploring the content of this website: historical events, campaign ads, and core values. Let me just read their opening page here. It says, EASE History is a rich online environment that supports learning and teaching of U.S. history. Hundreds of historical videos and photographs are currently available with EASE History. So I'm going to go to the center point with campaign ads. I'm going to click that, and what comes up on the left side is a list of ads, and there's a menu, and you can go by year, candidate, political party, issue, positive, negative, ad themes, really nice breakdown. I'm going to go by year, and I'm going to go to 1984. Once I select 84, I'll have 10 ad options on the left-hand side in the ad menu. And you'll also notice I'm in compare mode. In the upper right corner, there's three different modes: view, compare, and weave. I'm in the compare mode, which that allows me to do is split my screen in half so I can compare two different campaign ads. I'm going to click for box number one, the bear from 1984 with Ronald Reagan, the old Russian bear. And then I'm also going to click the bear for window number two. And the reason I did this is there's a feature in the compare site that allows you to click in the upper left corner and a drop-down menu comes up and they give you similar ads. So now you have a split screen and you can actually compare the videos right in the same screen. I'm going to choose George W. Bush, the wolves, and that's going to come up. So the last part of this, you'll see the bear and the wolves, and you can press play and both of these will play for your class. Now, I went kind of fast through that. I also put together a Windows Media tutorial that has screen grabs to walk you through this, so you can actually get a hold of that right there in the show notes. So that is easehistory.org. And if anyone out there listening has actually found additional websites that have campaign ads or have similar content, please pass them on so we can link them up to the show notes and share them with other educators. All right, for the final segment, segment number four, I have some cool historical facts, one local and one national. I teach in Ballston Spa, in Ballston Spa, New York, and if you've listened to this show in the past, you know that's about 200 miles north of New York City, and we're about 30 miles north of Albany, New York, the capital of New York State, and we're about 10 miles south of Saratoga Springs, where they have the famous racetrack, where they have the Midsummer Derby, the Traverse. So for local flavor, the first thing I wanted to share with you is in relation to baseball. I'm a baseball fan, and the creator of baseball, the gentleman credited with creative baseball, is Abner Doubleday, who was born right in Ballston Spa. His house is still downtown. They have a little mile marker in front of it where you can read all about him. But there's another cool little side note about Abner Doubleday and our connection to the Civil War. When Fort Sumter was fired on, the gentleman manning the cannons was, in fact, Abner Doubleday. He was the retaliatory response back to the Confederates that were firing on him. So I'd like to share that little piece of history with the kids. A lot of kids know that Abner Doubleday is credited with creating baseball, but not many of them knew that he was down in South Carolina firing right back at the Confederates at the start of the most costly war in American history in terms of body count. We lost over 600,000 during that struggle. So there's a little local flavor, and I wanted to give you a cool historical fact at the national level. I have a collection of books. I used to be a C-SPAN addict, and I used to listen to book notes, which used to have authors on, bring experts on to talk about the books they had written. And when that went off the air, I actually picked up the print companion to Book Notes. And the first one I picked up was called Book Notes: Stories from American History. They now have four different titles out. They include Book Notes on American Character, Book Life Stories, and Book Notes on America's Finest Writers. The Book Notes from American History is where I want to share this tidbit today for you for segment four. Before I get to that, let me read some of the table of contents here. Great stuff. Let me give you the Progressive Era and Reaction. Here's the lineup they have. And these are little 2-3 page tidbits to whet your appetite for the actual book. A lot of these have led me to go out and buy the actual book and read the whole thing. Here's the lineup. Linda O. McMurray on the Crusades of Ida B. Wells. Dorothy Herman on the Celebrity of Helen Keller. Gina Colata on the 1918 influenza pandemic. Edward Larson on the Scopes Monkey Trial. Robert A. Slayton on Alfred E. Smith and the election of 1928. So there's very, very cool stuff here. I want to go to the Scopes Monkey Trial for you for this cool fact today. And in this particular book, Edward J. Larson is the one who wrote the book, and he talks about the Great Monkey Trial of 1925, where the Tennessee biology teacher John Scopes was brought to trial for violating the state of Tennessee's statute banning the teaching of evolution in schools. I draw your attention to page 199, and this is about the connection between Scopes and William Jennings Bryan. Scopes had gone to college at the University of Kentucky. He was from Illinois. In fact, he was from the same town as William Jennings Bryan, Salem, Illinois, and William Jennings Bryan had delivered his high school commencement address. So, probably unbeknownst to both of them, they crossed paths later in that small town in Dayton, Tennessee in 1925, and be forever linked in history. So there are your two cool facts. All right, that concludes podcast number 3 for Making History. I'm going to wrap things up with a send-off from my son Jackson and also a biographical commercial from the Living Room Candidate, a pretty amusing one on Dwight D. Eisenhower. So I'll send you off with that. And if you have any questions, comments, or observations, please feel free to email me at rhengstermann@bscsd.org. That's rhengstermann@bscsd.org. Good night now.
Thank you for listening to Making a Say. Good night now. I don't hear it.
From Abilene, out of the heartland of America, out of this small frame house in Abilene, Kansas, came a man, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Through the crucial hour of historic D-Day, he brought us to the triumphant peace of VE Day. Now another crucial hour in our history. The big question.
General, if war comes, is this country really ready?
It is not. The administration has spent many billions of dollars for national defense. Yet today, we haven't enough tanks for the fighting in Korea. It is time for a change.
The nation, haunted by the stalemate in Korea, looks to Eisenhower. Eisenhower knows how to deal with the Russians. He has met Europe's leaders, has got them working with us. Elect the number one man for the number one job of our time. November 4th, vote for peace. Vote for Eisenhower.
A paid film. And I'm not going to say fantastic.